Once Upon a Journey, Chapter 6, The Wandering Youth. Reb Schneur Zalman lived in a small cottage on the outskirts of the city of Vitebsk with his wife and two children. People called him Reb Zalman the Melamed because he taught Torah to the children of the town in the local cheder. His home was located not far from the banks of the Dvina River. Few people knew that the humble Melamed was the descendant of illustrious ancestors, among them Rav Yehuda Lowy, the famous Maharal of Prague. Reb Zalman was in fact a great Talmud Chacham in his own right, although he kept his vast knowledge to himself. Reb Zalman originally lived with his family in Posen. Then, members of the Haskalah movement began to operate in Posen. These maskilim, as they were known, were Jews who refused to acknowledge the authority of Hashem or the truth of his Torah. They argued that Yiddishkeit had to be changed and updated to fit with modern times and scientific advances. They wanted Jews to assimilate with the non-Jewish nations. Reb Zalman's family left Posen since they did not want to suffer from the schemes or influence of the maskilim. One of his brothers moved to Minsk. Two others traveled to Warsaw, and Reb Zalman settled in Vitebsk. Reb Zalman and his wife had two children, Dvor Lea and Baruch. When Baruchke was a small boy, before the age of cheder, Reb Zalman would enjoy taking him by the hand and strolling among the fields and orchards that spread out like a colorful carpet along the banks of the river. There they would breathe the naturally pure air and delight in Hashem's creation. "See, my Baruch, how beautiful is the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu," Reb Zalman would exclaim to his little son. "Look at the treetops swaying back and forth in the wind as if they were davening to their creator. Listen to the chirping of the birds as they jump among the branches, singing praises to the one who commanded the universe to exist. Look carefully, my son, and gaze at the sparkling river. See its clear waters flow gracefully. They moisten the earth so that plants can grow. All this Hashem created so we can recognize his greatness and thank him for his goodness, and so a Jewish boy like you can study his holy Torah in peace and daven to him with concentration and love." Baruch, a serious child with a quick mind, absorbed his father's words and never forgot them. At the age of 4, his father wrapped him in his talis according to the minhag and brought him to cheder. Baruch understood all he was taught. So quick was his progress, his father soon had to place him in a higher grade to study Gemara. When he was 7, Reb Zalman moved him into the class for much older students. The youngest in the group, Baruch was nevertheless the best student. Every now and again, Reb Zalman and his son Baruch returned to the riverbank to stroll along the winding paths of the fields and orchards. But now, their conversation centered mainly on Torah. The scholarly father and the young boy had a common language, for Baruch's knowledge in Torah was comparable to that of a yeshiva student. By the age of Bar Mitzvah, Baruch had mastered several Siddurim of Mishnayos and knew a number of Masechtos of Gemara by heart. Soon, there was no class appropriate for Baruch's level of learning. With his father's consent, Baruch took his books to the edge of the river. There, sitting on a rock in the shade of a leafy tree, he studied Gemara in peace and solitude. If he encountered any question or difficulty, he would turn to his father for help. These were magical years for Baruch, years of fruitful learning amidst the beauty of Hashem's creation. The carefree days of Baruch's youth were not to last long. When he was 14 years old, Baruch's mother fell ill. She died soon after. To add to his grief and tragedy, just 6 months later, his father, Reb Schneur Zalman, also passed away. Baruch and his only sister, Dvor Lea, were orphans. The brother and sister had close relatives living in Vitebsk. Aunt Freda and Uncle Kaddish were childless and quickly offered to open their hearts and their home to their orphaned niece and nephew. Dvor Lea was older and more mature than Baruch, and she quickly accepted her new reality. Taking up her relatives' generous offer, she moved into their home. She was grateful for their kindness and soon felt part of her new family. Baruch, however, took his double loss a lot harder. He was a sensitive boy and found it extremely difficult to accept the loss of his two beloved parents. One day, Baruch announced to his uncle, aunt, and sister, "I have decided to leave Vitebsk and travel for a while." "No, Baruch," his aunt and uncle pleaded, "please stay with us. We will provide for you and take care of all your needs. You will be like a son to us." Baruch was determined. "Did our Chachamim not teach us journey to a place of Torah? Now that my dear parents are no longer alive, I will travel from town to town and from city to city until I reach a place where I will feel at peace." His aunt and uncle reminded Baruch he had a grandfather in Minsk, a successful merchant. "At least stay with your grandfather and you will continue your studies in comfort." Baruch shook his head. He would go out on his own. With a broken heart and tears in her eyes, his sister Dvoraleya parted with her younger brother. It was terribly difficult for her to see her younger brother leave so soon after their parents' passing. But she nevertheless wished him much success wherever he would go. Baruch trudged down dusty roads, the sun beating on his back. When it rained, the road became a river of mud. His journey took him through Dabrmisl, Kalisk, and other towns. Whenever he arrived at a Jewish community, he immediately found a Beis Medrash or yeshiva. There, he gratefully put down his pack and immersed himself in the eternal words of the Torah. When he first set out on his travels, Baruch made a decision. He would not accept support from anyone. He would earn his own bread, hard as it may be. He would find odd jobs by which to survive. He would draw water, chop wood, help a merchant sell his wares in the marketplace, anything to earn a few coins. Then, after working a few hours and earning just enough to live on, he would learn Torah as he had in his parents' home. He often reflected on the teaching of Chazal. It is better to find a lowly job, such as skinning animal hides in the marketplace, rather than living off the charity of other people. After traveling for a while, Baruch arrived in the town of Lyuzhna. He had with him only a pair of tefillin, a small bundle of clothing, and a handful of coins that he had earned from random jobs. He settled in a corner of the shul, removed a sefer from the shelf, and began to learn diligently. The people who came to the Beis Medrash were interested in the unknown youngster who sat and studied with unusual concentration. Who is he? What is his level of Torah knowledge? Baruch had no time for conversation. He was not interested in making friends or accepting invitations to eat at people's homes. He politely pushed away their inquiries and invitations and returned to study in peace. Days and then weeks passed, and the coins in Baruch's purse gradually decreased. It became difficult for him to continue. Baruch ate less and rationed his bread from one day to the next. Eventually, he felt that he had reached the end of his strength. He was exhausted and starving and on the verge of collapse.